This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are off and running on a, almost said Monday. Time flies when you're having fun. We did it last night on Monday. Now it's a Tuesday. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. Ginger Power times two as we are back for another evening, the eve of the NBA draft, as pretty interesting news and some odds movement regarding one particular prospect as he is excited to play, to be a part of the NBA, and so excited he will not be taking part of a playoff game. We will get to that as the show goes on. But Mr. Hill, I want to tell you a quick story as we signed off last night. And, you know, you are one in the most positive way that could push me over the top on bets. You gave me a nice Yerfy win yesterday as Aaron Judge went yard in that first inning. So I took those winnings from the Yerfy. And last night before we signed off, we said, it's Fernando Tatis Jr. bobblehead night. A little plus 375 anytime homer. Coupled to the warning track, no big deal. I get back to the house. And because, Will, this makes all the sense in the world, because we're, you know, 5.5 hours drive away from San Diego, the game, of course, is blacked out in my house. So I'm going old school. I've got the game on the radio. And by radio, I mean my phone via Bluetooth, right? And Fernando Tatis, down 10-3, launches one to left field. Three-run homer on his bobblehead night. So good night for all, I would say, last night. And let's do it again, Mr. Hill.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I'm happy you were able to hit. That was one we got, had a couple winners on that one. Parker stayed under his 3.5 Ks. I'm curious, I have a couple questions. Yeah. I have more than a couple, but I'll stick to two for now. Was it any less satisfying, more satisfying having it on the radio as opposed to watching it on TV, seeing the crack of the bat, watching the outfielder turn? It's, oh my God, it's going, and then it's gone. Or was it just as good? Take me, like, evaluate the sweat on the radio versus the sweat on TV.
That's a great question. I
thank you.
For me, I think it was more satisfying because you heard the crack. And then you heard the crowd get pretty excited. I was listening to the Nationals broadcast, and my guy Dave Jagler on the call, deep fly to left. And I'm like, just put up my hands. Because you could sense it from the broadcaster's voice. Once again, if you're watching it on TV, you know. But these guys have done it. I mean, most of Major League Baseball broadcasters have done it so long, you can tell when it's a homer. And you could sense immediately with the elevated voice, even the visiting call of it, you could sense it was gone. This was a no-doubter. So that's, I want to say, I can't say it's the first time that I've sweated out a game on the radio. I did drive across country last year, so I did listen to a lot of baseball on the radio. But, you know, it felt like old school. I was outside, you know, on candlelight with a whiskey on my stoop, and I was listening to the game.
Oh, I've sweated plenty of games on radio. I've done it plenty of times. I've been betting back since, you know, we didn't have all these options to just check the scores instantly. I remember, man, I was right around, I don't know, I want to say, I was younger. We'll leave it at that. I was younger, and a bunch of buddies and I, we had, it was an Ivy game. It was Yale versus maybe Brown, and I think we were catching 7. We couldn't find an update. It was a Saturday night. We're all at a party. We went in one of our buddy's car. You know, 'cause we're in Connecticut, we could get the local station and we listened to the end of the game and we covered, and we covered by like a point on free throws. We went back in and enjoyed the rest of the party. But I've been there, man. It's whatever you got to do to get these updates sometimes.
Yeah, but it was an enjoyable night because my Nats actually won too, and I had to text my my good buddy, radio host in San Diego, John Schaefer, and I said, hey, thank AJ Preller again for James Wood. I appreciate that, as it was a little gratifying, even though obviously the Padres are in much better shape as a franchise than my Nationals are. Anytime I can take a little jab there at the Padres at their expense, I will do so.
I want to get to these games because some of them are starting. I got some thoughts on, I don't know, thoughts on most of them. But did you see this? You bringing up Wood makes me realize this, and I can forward you the tweet. I guess FanDuel and a couple of these books, somebody out there, you know how there are these groups or Discord, somebody put out a parlay. And sometimes FanDuel, DraftKings, sometimes these books suggest a home run parlay. I guess a monster got home last night and FanDuel lost a couple, $2.5 million.
Ooh.
And they sent out a tweet like, hey, if you guys are all doing these together, we can't pay you out, that kind of thing, which, man, I don't know how you enforce that. That's a rough look. I know some other books got hit pretty heavy with the same homer parlay. I don't know what the combination was. I know Wood was involved. Again, I can find the tweet, or maybe Justin, our great producer, can find the tweet here in a minute. We can find it between the break and see what the particulars were. But I think I even mentioned the show last night. Oh, man, tonight might have been a good night for like a square ball homer parlay because of Acuna, Judge, Soto, Cal Raleigh, and then eventually James Wood. Like a lot of the big names, yeah, big home run hitters, all went deep on the same night. Not that you get huge odds on any of those guys, but you start to parlay them together and everyone's on the same thing, throwing Tatis. So a lot of big names went deep last night. I guess some of these books got crushed with it and they're not too happy about it. But you know what? You live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, Aaron Judge, that first inning homer that got the Yerfy home, Cal Raleigh, what was that, the ninth inning he homers, Tatis in the ninth inning, James Wood, as you alluded to, I think that was his 22nd or 23rd home run of the season. So yeah, there were some big names homering last night. We'll see if some big names are striking out batters because we have Garrett Crochet on the hill later tonight, the leader in strikeouts in Major League Baseball. And also, we have Tarik Skubal on the hill. So before we get to our game of the night, let's go to a game that you had eyed up last night, and that is the Detroit Tigers with Skubal taking the hill here this evening. As right now, we look at the line for the Tigers this afternoon, as I'm, oh, there it is. It's coming up at 8 o'clock Eastern time, and the Tigers a 385 favorite. So dealing with some rain there. So delayed in the first inning, but Tarik Skubal is, are you still looking at the first three under in this one?
Yeah, I like the under 2.5 there. Severino, which is no surprise or shouldn't be a surprise, much better when you get him away from that little bandbox in Sacramento. So he's been, you know, much better on the road here. Skubal's great everywhere. His velocity was down a little bit last time, so maybe there's a little concern there. But he's, look, he's as dominant as it gets. So I like, I mentioned this last night, I like isolating it to the first three if the number's reasonable, because so often if you're on an under first five, it's that fourth or fifth inning that be a second, maybe even third time through the lineup. If you can just chop off two innings and trade a run for it, I think that's a good deal. So I'm on the under 2.5. There's definitely some juice involved there. I think it's -150 in that range when I played it. Probably still around there, maybe -155. I haven't checked the updated odds. Interesting by the Tigers. I don't know if it's raining there, but you know, if you have any hint, any sense that it's going to rain and it's going to rain early in the game, you know what? Better off not starting it, because the last thing you want is to burn Skubal, where you have him throw an inning, two innings, it starts to rain, you have an hour delay, and you're either, you know, should I bring him back? Do we just waste him? It's tough. So that happened actually last time, his last start out against the Pirates. So you know what, rain in the forecast, let's just schedule first pitch, let's push it back and make sure rain is not going to interrupt this start. So I wonder, a little strategy, a little gamesmanship by the Tigers, making sure they avoid an early in-game delay there with Skubal on the mound.
I was just looking at the first five here at Circa. It is 3.5 for that one. And it's 3.5 at a lot of other shops as well. So I don't know. I might join you, though. We need a little show sweat. I have not fired on anything yet. But as we wrap up this first segment, we got a game of importance starting here momentarily. So let's get to said game that is taking place in Cincinnati.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
All right, Will Hill. People are going to get mad at you. Blame Will. Yankees and Reds tonight is our game of the night, starting here in just a matter of moments. The Reds taking care of business last evening against the Bronx Bombers, and the Yankees a -$1.69 favorite with Carlos Rodon on the hill going up against the youngster and Chase Burns.
I'm excited for this one. It has nothing to do with the fact that I'm a Yankee fan. I'm excited to see Burns. I bet him 100-1 Saturday night to win NL Rookie of the Year. Got some good CLV. We always know how that goes. You know, doesn't guarantee anything. But I'm a baseball nerd. I love when these big-time prospects come in and seeing them make their debut. I can remember back, I think 2010, Strasburg made his debut.
I was there.
Against the Pirates. I think same time of year, like a Tuesday night against the Pirates. And it was must-watch. Anytime there's a big prospect, hitter, pitcher, you just want to get a sense of them, see them in their uniform, the batter, see them in their stance. Burns, I think number 2 pick in the draft. A lot of people that follow college baseball closely will tell you this guy is as good as Skeens, was as good as Skeens, maybe even better than Skeens until Skeens got to LSU and took it to another level or two. His numbers in the minors are video game-like. And we'll see. It's first start. Is there going to be a little nerves? We've seen Mizorowski come up and have no nerves and just dominate right away. But Yankees haven't seen this guy, so I would expect him to be effective. I look to play his over strikeouts. Under in the first five, I worry a little bit because Rodon can be homer prone, and that's a bad place to be homer prone in that tiny little ballpark. And same thing yesterday as today, hot everywhere. Ball's going to be traveling. Ball's going to be carrying. You're going to see a bunch of homers, I would think, throughout the league here tonight in baseball. But I'm excited for this one. So I think Burns will pitch well. I think Rodon will pitch relatively well. For me, it'd be first five or nothing. I like the Reds as a plus price with the dog. And I think my favorite play among all of these, Reds getting a half a run in the first five. So under first five and Reds getting a half run in the first five, I think it'll be close, low scoring. I'm excited to see this kid pitch.
All right, we will see it. And you mentioned the Steven Strasburg debut. I was in attendance June 8th, 2010, really? 15 years ago, 14 strikeouts. Gosh. An electric Tuesday night against the Pittsburgh Pirates when the Nats were the worst team in Major League Baseball, Will Hill. It was when it felt like, all right, maybe this franchise could go somewhere, and it was kind of the start of what would be a great decade of baseball there in the nation's capital. Four division titles, a World Series in 2019. But yeah, one of the more electric atmospheres, at least for a baseball game, that I've been a part of. 2010, Steven Strasburg's debut, striking out 14 Pittsburgh Pirates in that victory. Do you know who the catcher was?
Ooh, there must be a reason you asked. Let me think about it. I'm not going to look it up, but I want to think about it. We can talk about it when we come back. How about that, though? 15 years ago, we are all getting old, are we not?
We are old. We are very old. Steven Strasburg has retired also, unfortunately, due to injuries. Let's talk some NBA draft. We'll do that with Rob Doster. He'll join us next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Tuesday evening. Will Hill, Tim Murray, Ginger Power with you here on this evening. I'm at the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Will over there in the lovely state of Connecticut, and from that lovely state, no longer living there, is our good friend from the field of 68, Rob Doster, joins us here on the eve of the NBA draft. And, you know, Rob, from a betting standpoint, there's really no interest in Cooper Flagg or even Dylan Harper, but I want to just ask you about those two particular players and your expectations for them heading into the NBA, as they're both be headed to Texas. Cooper Flagg's going to be a Dallas Maverick. Dylan Harper is going to be a San Antonio Spur. What do you expect from those two fellas in year one in the NBA?
Well, first and foremost, I think Cooper Flagg within 5 years is going to be a top 10 player in the NBA. I think that highly of him. We know what he is defensively. We know what he is as a ball mover. He was one of the best prospects in America because of everything that he could do that didn't involve scoring, right? And then he goes out as the youngest player in Division I college basketball and averages, 19 points a game, nine rebounds, couple of assists, a steal here, a block here, shot 40-something% from three, and he did it all while playing as a National Player of the Year on a team that was the best college basketball team that we've seen since Kentucky in 2015, and I will die on that hill. So I think he's going to be an absolute superstar. People forget how young he was. He is a year younger than what most other college basketball players were when he played against them, in an era where college basketball was as old as it's been in a long, long, long time. He's going to be an absolute monster. And then Dylan Harper, I think Dylan Harper is closer to being on Cooper Flagg's level than it is to being a conversation about who should be the number two pick in this draft. I just don't know how it works with San Antonio, right? Like, if you got a guy like Wemby, the whole value of Wemby is you got a 7-foot-4 dude that's the best rim protector in the NBA, and he can make threes. The whole value is being able to, like, the floor spacing you can create with that, right? And we're going to put him out there with Dylan Harper, who's like a ball stopper that's not really a catch-and-shoot guy, and De'Aaron Fox, who's needs the ball in his hands, not really a catch-and-shoot guy, and Steph Castle, who You don't have to guard outside of like 6 feet. I don't know how that's all going to work. So San Antonio is going to have a lot of pieces, and they're going to have to make a move somewhere, somehow. And I got a feeling that's going to be one of the highlights and one of the fireworks of draft night. Something's going to happen with San Antonio. I don't know. Can we bet on that, Tim? Something crazy is going to happen with San Antonio. What? How can I get some on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, my my prediction and my plea to Sam Presti yesterday on the show, because I think Sam Presti needs all the advice he could get. He's not very good at his job. But I said, I wouldn't be surprised with all these this treasure trove of selections. Why not go up and get a Trey Johnson or a Con Knipple? Watching those games, as amazing as they were defensively, having a lights out shooter would really be advantageous. So Rob, I'll ping pong it back to you. When you look at Con Knipple and or Trey Johnson, who do you think flourishes, excuse me, sooner? Who has the game to be just that lockdown elite shooter?
I think it's Con Knipple, because he's more of a complimentary piece, right? Like, Trey Johnson to me is a little boomer bust, because he's someone that kind of has to have the ball in his hands, right? And I think that there's two different kinds of scores in the NBA right now. Every team's going to have like their go-to guy, which is a guy that you kind of ISO for and let him go get a bucket. And that's the role, that's the archetype that Trey Johnson is. And I just don't know if he's quite good enough to be one of like the 20 best scorers in the entire world, which is what he'd have to be to play that role in the NBA, right? Whereas Con Knipple is this guy that he's going to make the right play. He's going to move the ball. He's going to be the catch and shoot guy. He's going to be the straight line driver. He's going to be the guy that makes the right reads. And I think that kind of piece has more value as a role player in the NBA than the kind of piece that Trey Johnson will. Trey Johnson certainly has a higher ceiling than Con Knipple. I don't think Con Knipple will be an all-star. I think Trey Johnson has all-star in his range of outcomes. If you're just kind of projecting what he could end up being, the question is just how good do you think he's going to be as the go-to scorer? And I'm not sure it's set in stone that he could be an all-star caliber scorer, if that makes sense.
Rob, what are you thinking here with the Sixers at three? The betting market seems to think it's Edgecombe, but we know the one and we know the two. Based on, you know, reading the tea leaves, it doesn't sound like Philly has reached out and said, hey, you're going to be our guy here at three. It seemed like open to business, seem open to, you know, picking somebody else. Do you have any sense of who they will pick and who do you think they should pick?
Well, I'll tell you this right now. As a guy that's living about 20 minutes outside the city of Philadelphia, that's raising a 9-year-old boy that is a diehard Eagles, Phillies, and Sixers fan. Anybody other than Ace Bailey is what they want around here. That's what they're praying for. I don't care who it is. Give me someone other than Ace Bailey. If it was me making that pick, I would probably be trying to trade it. I don't know if you're going to be able to get any value for it, because I think that anybody trading up for third will just say, well, why are we giving up more value when the whoever will get at 6 or 7 will basically be the same kind of play. Like, if you get Ace Bailey, you get Trey Johnson, you get Vijay Edgecombe, you get Continental, you get Jeremiah Fears, you get any of the guys who's kind of in that range, you're getting the same caliber of player from 3 to 7. So I don't know why you would trade up for it. So they got to make that pick. If it's me, I'm taking Continental in that spot. I think Vijay Edgecombe probably has the highest ceiling, though, because of what he can be defensively, because of how athletic he is, and because of the fact that that jump shot actually looks like it's projectable in the long term. And overall, he seems like a kid that's going to be a good worker, a hard worker, and someone that will fit in alongside Jared McCain and Tyrese Maxey, and kind of what the future of that organization is. So I'd be trying to trade it, but I think it's going to end up being Vijay Edgecombe. That sounds about right. That's where the tea leaves are going, right?
It's possible. The other pick here is that's interesting to me, at least, is the 10, just because you can bet on who's going to be a top 10 pick. You can be on who's going to be you can bet on who's exactly going to be the 10th pick. Wolf has been getting some buzz here to go to the Suns. Now that the Suns have it with the Durant trade, it seems like Tim's point, the Thunder are open to trading up to either 9 or 10. Any idea what the Suns are thinking here with the 10th pick?
I don't think anybody knows, because as of what, like 72 hours ago, the Suns did not have the number 10 pick.
Right.
So one of those things. And I think that the one thing that we've learned about the Suns organization with the new ownership is that if you are trying to project a rational decision maker in this spot, there's no possible way you could do that with the way the Suns are going right now. So it could be anybody at the number 10 pick. I'll tell you what my favorite bet on the board though is Jeremiah Fears be a top five pick. I think you can get that, what, 2.5 to 1 right now. I think he ends up being the fifth pick to the Jazz. The Jazz are in a spot where they need guard play. They probably need a point guard. They got Lauri Markkanen, and they got Walker Kessler. They got some size inside, right? But they need someone that can set the table for those guys. And Jeremiah Fears, to me, he might be the biggest boom or bust prospect in this draft. But if he hits, man, you're looking at a guy that could end up being an all-star at the point guard spot. And I think that's who they end up taking. And it seems like that's where a lot of the projections are. And if you get that at 2.5 to 1, that seems like pretty good odds to get Jeremiah Fears as a top five pick.
Yep, sitting at +250. Under 6.5 is -105. That has definitely been a draft position that's been on the move. Rob Doster, Field of 68, joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line, Field of 68. They will have draft coverage tomorrow night. We will have draft coverage here on VSiN. We'll certainly be looking at it from a betting standpoint. You had mentioned the Ace Bailey saga, and this is just bizarre how this is all unfolded here. Right now, he's favored to go number 6 to Washington at +150. Some of the things that you read, Rob, is that teams are just going to forget about the, you know, unwillingness to go and work out and just draft them based off of talent alone. How big of a red flag in your eyes is this Ace Bailey situation?
I think the red flag is that he seems to be taking advice from people that should not be in a position to give a kid with his kind of future earning potential the kind of advice that they are giving him, right? Like, the way that I would frame it is, everything I've heard about the kid, look, I live in New Jersey, man. I know people that work at Rutgers and work in the Rutgers athletic department really, really well. And I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about the kid beyond the fact that, like, he might be a little bit naive, right? He loves basketball. He is absolutely a grinder. I don't know if he necessarily has the highest basketball IQ, but it's not because he doesn't play enough, right? And I think the issue is the wrong people have his ear. He has an agent that's never repped an NBA draft pick this high before, right? And he seems like he's trying to make decisions and try to steer himself to go to a certain spot when it's like, why? It almost doesn't matter where you go when you are that high of a draft pick, but get in an organization where they're gonna invest in you more than anything else. And so I don't understand the thought process here. It's a red flag to me, not because of the kid, but because of who has influence over some of the decisions that he's making and who has his ear. And if that doesn't change, I think it's a very big concern for what his ceiling could end up being as an NBA basketball player.
He's Rob Doster. You know him from the Field of 68. Always love your insight, Rob. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Take care.
There he is, Rob Doster.
Thanks,
hey,
Rob.
Once again, folks, if you want to check out our betting splits exclusive to VSiN Pro subscribers, we can check them out for as little as $9.99 for that first month. Head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Our info comes directly from DraftKings Sportsbook as well as Circa Sportsbook. It is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We keep it rolling here on a Chase Burns debut night. And by the end of the night, it might be Chase Burns evening. Cincinnati might be naming monuments after him by the end of the evening. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. Mr. Hill, would you like to update the people on Mr. Chase Burns and his major league debut?
Yeah, Burns out here versus the Yankees, you could tell he's very nervous, even though the stuff is really good, because he's faced four batters and he's taken a bunch of pitches to strike out all four batters. So showing some nerves as he has a full count here on Goldschmidt, it looks like, the fifth batter of the game, but four up, four down, all Ks, Bellinger, Judge, Rice, Grisham. He has just carved through these guys. He has been impressive. Second pick of the draft just last June. So he did not spend much time in the minors, and you can see why, as he is now five up, five down, all of them Ks. He was at 4.5 for his K prop. The over was juiced, but you know what? You don't pay the juice when you win. And if you bet that, you won, because he already struck out five. This kid is the real deal. I mentioned Saturday night, I tweeted out, hey, 100-1 rookie of the year. It's wide open. I woke up Sunday morning, 8 hours later, 7 hours later, he's 20-1. The numbers are down now. My guess is that 20-1 is gone, and he's maybe I don't know, 5-1, 8-1 range. It's crazy for five batters, but the NL Rookie of the Year race is wide open, and this kid looks like the real deal here. And I watch him go out and, you know, give up four or five runs the next inning, and then we can, you know, we can delete the tapes of this, but you can only go based on what you see. The pedigree was there. The hype was there. He's matched it so far. He is just mowing the Yankees down.
Wow. Five up, five down, all strikeouts. And he will not have six for six. Actually, he might have six strikeouts because he does give up a base hit to Jazz Chisholm here. You know, I mentioned that I was at the Strasburg debut 15 years ago in D.C. I don't know what's going to happen as this night goes on. I don't know if that will be matched, but I'm trying to think of, you know, the debuts we've seen. And we talked about Mizorowski and, you know, what we saw from him in his first two starts with the Brewers. 11 innings, giving up one hit, and has got two wins. Some of these youngsters, man, they are they're ready. They're ready to go. And this is as impressive of a start to a career that I can recall. Sure. And I believe, what is the stat? Is it 12 straight Yankee games have gone to the under? Is that right? I think I've read that.
Oh, I didn't heard that. Yeah. I hadn't heard that. I know they've been in a wicked slump. But that might be true if you're saying it. I hadn't that one hadn't come up. I'm trying to pull up the Rookie of the Year stuff. FanDuel actually leaves these numbers up. Let's see if National League Rookie of the Year is still available. Chase Burns is available. Would you like to bet it?
What price?
Plus 450.
Oh my God. So you got 100-1 on Saturday.
100-1.
And he's now down to +450. Did you
what
bet it?
Go
was
wrong,
it
right?
Was it DraftKings or FanDuel?
DraftKings. DraftKings had 100-1 on him.
Wow. Because there was, I want to say, I can't remember the number JVT got on Paul Skeens last year, but he had
40-1 or something.
Yeah,
I think maybe
he had an incredible number on Skeens, and it was one of those situations where I was just stubborn all throughout the year. I finally bet it, oddly enough, and I think I laid $1.60, and then he became the underdog, right? Because Jackson Merrill ended up playing so well. Obviously, Skeens went out and ultimately won the award. But this kid is incredible. Six strikeouts, ladies and gentlemen. This is a joke. This is a joke.
Man. This is impressive. This is impressive.
Remind me, we got to get. So my buddy is the voice of the Reds on television, John Sadak. So we might need to get Mr. Sadak on the program at some point, because this is an absolute just show he is putting on. And it's not like, you know, he's facing the Rockies. He's facing the New York Yankees, man. Like, this is insane.
I know there was a lot of criticism, not really from anybody. You guys were just teasing me that we were using the Yankees two nights in a row for game of the night. But it wasn't because of the Yankees. It was because of Burns. I was excited to watch him. And the one thing, I got to check his pitch count, because if you're striking everybody out, that's going to get your pitch count up there. I don't know how long he's going to be around tonight. But this is, I made the comparison to Strasburg before this even started. This does feel Strasburg-ish. Same thing, Tuesday night, middle of the summer, the hype. And he's at least lived up to it so far. This is fun.
I hope.
Wow, look at these numbers, 199, 9900. He's, man, it's impressive.
Yeah. So I'll read the tweet for those of you listening on SiriusXM channel 158 or on many of our terrestrial affiliates across the country. Chase Burns' fastball velocity in the first inning as a big leaguer, 98, 100, 99, 100, 100, 100, 99, 99, 99. His slider velo, same inning, 93, 90, 91, 92, 91. Good God. And he struck out Aaron Judge. Like, this dude. All right, let me ask you this question. DraftKings has live strikeout props. Over under 9.5 for Chase Burns. He struck out 6 through 2 innings. Would you go over or under? -130 to the over, even money to the under.
I'm telling you what I'm not going to do, and that is bet the under. It would be over nothing. I don't know. Is he going to get four more? I mean, he just struck out everybody in the first two innings. I've noticed sometimes when these guys strike out a bunch early, there's value on the over, which is actually kind of a counterintuitive, but something about their stuff that night, the hitter's not picking up the ball, that they just – it's a big strikeout night. So very rarely do you get like a bunch early and then just cool off. Usually when you get a bunch, you continue that pace, so I would only look towards the over. I kind of like that over there. How about you? What, any thoughts on it?
Yeah. I mean, look, I got to live in the moment, man. And I don't know. Maybe I'm a prisoner of it. I am a prisoner of this moment. This is incredible. 6 strikeouts through 2 innings. I mean, this is like a varsity pitcher pitching against the JV, and it's the New York bleeping Yankees.
It's fun. No, this is fun. Giving us a little juice here on a Tuesday night in the summer. This is one of those ones where, somebody in attendance is going to say 15 years from now on VSiN, hey, I was there that night. Chase Burns made his debut.
Oh, my God. I just thought about 15 years from now, my son will have graduated college 2040. Oh, man. Good Lord. I don't even want to. That's terrifying.
I know. We might have to go to an early break after that process. It is scary to think about.
By the way, a little behind it, Will was mad at me that I brought up that the Strasburg debut was 15 years ago. You were not pleased that I brought up.
I wasn't mad. It just hurt. It just hurt a little bit. And you asked me who was the catcher. I couldn't think of it. I was like, let me think about it. And I got it right. It was Pudge. I didn't look it up. You saw me. I didn't look it up. Because I figured, it had to be somebody notable. It wasn't going to be Wilson Ramos or one of the Sal Fasano or something. It had to be like a Hall of Fame level player. And I remember he had a stint around there with the Nats. So that is a good trivia one, though. That's one that you would you could win a bar bet on for sure.
Yeah, Bob Costas was in town calling the game on MLB Network. It was a big ordeal. That was a cool moment, no doubt, to be there. And maybe, as you alluded to, is there, I believe, interviewing his parents right now on the broadcast. This is a lot of fun to watch this. Do we know, have we heard how deep they're going to let him go into this game? Are we up to date on that or no?
No, but he's been built up. He's been starting in the minors. So, I mean, I would expect, now none of these guys go more than 95, 100 pitches, but I would think you get your 90, 100 pitches out of him. I don't see why not. So I don't know, 5-6 innings, I think, is reasonable to get out of him.
Yeah. All right. Let's, we will keep you updated on Chase Burns and whether or not he goes over the in-game number of 9.5 strikeouts, which is it right now. We've got a NL East showdown. The Braves won last night over the Mets at Citi Field. Right now, that game scoreless there at Citi Field. All right, I can't stop. I got to go back to the Reds game real quickly. Right now, Reds are -101 in-game. The question obviously would be, how long is he going to be out there?
Right.
In-game total 8.5, heavily juiced under. And once again, prisoner very
Reds
much
do have
of
a
the
man
moment.
On.
Yeah, the
Reds. Yeah, Reds do have a man on, nobody out.
Yeah.
But it'd be under nothing for me. If I was going to do anything, I'd look like the first 5 under just because I don't. 4-4, you're going to get a 9th run. If it goes to extras in a close game here, that could be bad. I mean, that is going to be bad. But I wouldn't want over for sure. I am going to look at this, though. DraftKings, you can bet these as there's one out now in that inning. If you go to half inning props on DraftKings and then you go to hits listed inning, will the Yankees have a hit in the third inning? No is +115. So 8-9-1 do up. No at +115 with the way he's throwing the ball. You got two guys who haven't seen him, and then you get Grisham. The +115 on the Yankees to not get a hit in the third inning is one I like.
Ooh, all right. I like it. So that's why we have this show. We are in-game betting as much as we possibly can. And when you're watching something like this unfold in front of your eyes, you're gonna take advantage of it. Hey, speaking of baseball, ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today and use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N, and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. It's VSIN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I might have to apologize to the listeners because I don't know if I can keep my attention on anything else other than Chase Burns as he's pitching. And, Six strikeouts so far for Chase Burns. It is the top of the third inning, and there are zero outs, ladies and gentlemen. This is, I can only imagine what it must feel like to be in your first major league start, and you've struck out every, you haven't faced every batter because you did give up a hit, but every out, Will Hill, has been a strikeout. And Austin Wells right now at the plate, 2-2 count, Reds and Yankees, Great American Ballpark. This is definitely worthy of the VSiN primetime game of the night. And breaking news, he got an out that was not a strikeout.
Yeah, 1-2 on Wells, couldn't put him away. Wells grounds out to second. So that plus money on no hit in the third, you need two more outs here. Now, these can be frustrating because you can get two of the quickest, easiest outs. Then you just get a little bloop single, and just like that, you lost your bet. So it's a very, you know, instant gratification, instant action bet. But Oswaldo Peraza coming up, he of the 158 average, and then Grisham. So I think that plus money was a good bet here, as Burns has only allowed one hit. And it's hard not to watch him and the radar gun and the stuff and think, all right, it's June. What is it, 23rd today?
24th. Like,
where's this guy been? The season started in March. You couldn't have gotten a couple more starts out of him. Now, maybe he needed the seasoning. Ooh. Sometimes we get a ground ball to third here, and there are two outs. Yeah, he did. What took so long? I mean, maybe he needed the seasoning. Maybe they're trying to manipulate the clock. I'm not exactly sure how those rules work now, but couldn't this guy have been up a little bit earlier, wouldn't you think?
I would think so. And look, as someone who had over 78 wins for the Reds and has it, you know, come on, man. We could have used him on opening night. What are we doing here, Cincinnati Reds? But this has been fun to watch as there are two outs in the top of the third. Let's get Will Hill's plus money bet home as the lineup card flips over Trent Grisham at the plate. Coming up top of the hour, we are going to go talk to Jeff Sherman from the Westgate Superbook, who is in charge of their NBA odds. And I'm very curious to see what they've done in the futures market with the Tyrese Halliburton injury and now these trades, the Kevin Durant trade to Houston. And tonight we get another trade, as Shams Charania reported about an hour ago, right before Follow the Money signed off the air, that Boston, Atlanta, and Brooklyn are finalizing a three-team trade to send Kristaps Porzingis and a second-round pick to the Hawks, Terrence Mann and Atlanta's number 22 pick to the Nets, and Gorgie Niang and a second rounder to the Celtics. And as we saw yesterday with Drew Holiday getting shipped off to the Portland Trailblazers, Bobby Marks has pointed out that trading Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday has saved Boston a projected $180 million in tax penalties.
Yeah, it sure has. We got a little scare here in the Yankee game.
Yeah, Trent Grisham just obliterated that baseball, but it was foul.
Yeah, yes, he did. Look, good job by Boston. From all the cap guys seem to think that the Boston has gotten away with a heist here, being able to unload Holiday, unload Porzingis, and really not give up much and get Simons back. I know Simons can be a liability defensively, and if you're going to win a championship, as we've seen, you know, time and time again, very rarely do you have anything but an elite team defensively, an elite team on both sides of the ball.
Winner.
We get a seventh strike here from Burns. I think it's a good move for Boston. They've done a good job here, shedding trades, shedding salary, shedding contracts. They're not going to compete next year, you wouldn't think, in the East, although with Brown and Simons, it's not going to take much for any of these teams. It's going to be a theme here. You're going to hear it 100 times. Any of these teams can squint and say, yeah, you know what? Ball bounces our way. We're healthy. We make a move. We could be the three or the four seed. So Boston's not going to be terrible in this East, but the priority for them is not really winning a championship. It's shedding weight, shedding dollars, and they've seemed to do that pretty well. We got off the air last night, maybe an hour or so after Drew Holiday to the Blazers, which is interesting because the Blazers traded him to Boston after they got him in the Dame deal. That was a strange one. I mean, Simons only has 1 year left on his deal. Holiday's got 3 years left, 35 years old, a lot of money. I was surprised Portland had any interest in taking that contract for a guy who's older and expensive there in Holiday.
I didn't understand that trade at all for Portland. And, you wonder, you know, sometimes there's these GMs, and Brad Stevens, obviously one that has a very strong track record. And you just, I had to look at it multiple times, and I'm like, okay, so Boston gets an expiring and a guy that looks like he could be productive in Simons, and also they got a draft pick out of it. and they shed the Drew Holiday contract. I'm like, explain this one to me. I don't understand it. Also worth noting in that deal, so it's a three-team deal. Brooklyn is involved. How about this? Brooklyn now, as we will have, once again, first round coverage tomorrow night, me and Matt Eumanns on VSiN, as we will have our NBA draft. And we're going to be talking about the Nets quite a bit because they now have picks 8, 19, 22, 26, and 27. They have 5 first round picks. Over a quarter of the picks will be utilized by the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow night.
They need them. I mean, they need assets. It's these teams, you know, you can only feel so bad for them because they construct their whole season, their whole reason for being in this 82 game regular season is to lose as many games as possible. Anyone plays well, we either bench them, trade them, come up with a fake injury, and we try to get as many lottery balls as possible. So when you're as bad and boring as the Nets are and you end up with the 8th pick, it's disappointing. But look, they've come back from the dead before and just you stockpile the picks. You do what OKC did. You take bad contracts. You just take any pick you can get, and you collect as many at-bats as you can, and you hope to hit a few singles, few doubles, and get yourself back in the game. So Nets have a lot of picks. Nets need a lot of picks.
Yeah, and we were talking to Rob Doster earlier in the hour, and he said he felt like something weird could happen with San Antonio. I do get a sneaky suspicion, and once again, the NBA, just figure it out. Make it less complicated, right? Tomorrow night, you know, Houston is going to make the 10th pick, but that's actually Phoenix pick. I don't know if this trade tonight is going to be officially through. So it's so confusing. Make it simpler like the NFL, but that's my little diatribe. I do expect something kind of funky to happen. When you've got a team like Oklahoma City that's got 2 first-round picks tomorrow night, you've got Brooklyn who's got 5 first-round picks. I believe Washington has 2 first-round picks. There's going to be some aggressive moves here to maybe get up. Is there a player, does a particular player who drops, you know, look to, you know, ratchet up interest? Does Ace Bailey, you know, that's what's going to be so interesting regarding Ace Bailey, who, you know, Rob, I thought, put it well, which is he just seems like he's getting bad advice. You know, he's not going to drop to the 5th round like Shedeur Sanders, but you know, this is a guy that was believed during the college basketball season, and you and I, you know, love college hoops. Will, he was probably going to be the 3rd pick in the draft, and now he's dropping like a rock. Does he go to 6 to Washington? You know, does he go 7? Who knows how this is all going to play out? But yeah, I do kind of feel like after 2, maybe 3, because VJ Edgecombe, as you alluded to, the odds would indicate that seems to be the way Philly's going. But after 3, do we get a little weird tomorrow night? I kind of hope we do.
Me too. I don't know what that move would be. It seems like the Giannis stuff is, you know,
that's
blown over. The Milwaukee sees it in the East and says, you know what, like I said, with all these other teams, you squint and you say, hey, why not us? Why can't we be the 2 or the 3 seed, even if we don't think we can win a championship or get to a finals? Get to the 2nd or 3rd round is something. It's not just championship or bust. You can get to a conference finals, you know, for 90%, 95% of the teams, that's still a hell of a year. You sell a lot of tickets, you make your fans happy, and who knows, you give yourself a chance, you know, to get lucky. I don't know what that move is unless, like you said, somebody drops. Like, who's the next all-star that could be traded? Markkanen? It feels like maybe the dust has settled and everything that's going to happen has happened. Can Zion? Would Zion be somebody that a team like...
Are you touching Zion right now, though?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's it'll be fun, though. It'll be fun. Do you get the sense... We'll have have guests on. We'll have plenty of time to talk about this. Do you get the sense... any idea here what the Suns are going to do with the 10th pick? Do you buy this idea that Danny Wolfe could be the 10th pick in the draft? I liked him in college.
Yeah.
Fun player, nice player. 10th pick in the draft. There seems to be some buzz for it. I don't know. But again, I don't have any reason to believe it's not true.
Well, maybe they'll just you remember all those years that the Lions would take a wide receiver in the first round? You know, maybe the Suns, after now they've acquired yet another guard in Jalen Green, who is, you got Booker, you've got Bradley, you've got Green.
Right.
Maybe they'll get another guard. Why not? You know, but conventional wisdom would seem to think they're going to get some sort of big Derek Queen could be a possibility there. The kind of versatile big. He's not a true center, but power forward
right.
out of Maryland. That could be an interesting one. So, yeah, I'd be curious. I did make a draft bet, and we're going to talk to Luke Swain in the third hour of the show at Vegas Refund. He's going to jump on. He is tremendous when it comes to betting all drafts. I believe he went 11-1 on documented picks for the NFL draft. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray, waiting for Chase Burns to get back out there, as the Reds do have a man on first in the bottom of the third inning. Just a reminder, folks, we've got a VSiN Pro early bird special going on right now. You get a VSiN Pro subscription for $175. You get access to everything we offer through the Super Bowl. Head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe.